A very good evening, everybody. Very warm welcome to PB Fintech Limited earnings call, quarter two, financial year 2025-2026. Today we have with us Mr. Yashish Dahiya, Chairman and Group CEO, PB Fintech, Mr. Alok Bansal, Executive Vice Chairman, PB Fintech, Mr. Sarbvir Singh, Joint Group CEO, PB Fintech, Ms. Santosh Agarwal, CEO, Paisabazaar, Mr. Mandeep Mehta, Group CFO, PB Fintech, and I'm Rasleen. I request Yashish for the introductory note.
Thank you, Rasleen. Before I start, I just wanted to share a very small incident. I think on 1st of September this year, or 2nd of September this year, it was the last month of our quarter. It was announced that there would be a GST change on the 22nd. Any sane customer should not have bought any health policy or a term policy between 1st of September to 22nd of September. And I was obviously worried about what would happen. And I must totally congratulate our team, which had found solutions before 9 a.m. that day. And our sales on that day were not lower. And as you will notice, for that month were not lower. And I think that is what becomes the PB way, where execution is the key, and execution happens in hours, not in any other sense. But I really wanted to thank all 23,000 of our employees once again for how they kept things up. And with that, I'll proceed to give the performance update for our quarter. Our total premium for the quarter is now 7,605 crores, up 40% year on year and 15% quarter on quarter, led by the online protection business, which is at 44% year on year. Health being at 60. Once again, please do take this with that backdrop of 1st to 22nd of September. But despite that, this is here. Consolidated revenue grew 38% year on year to 1,614 crores for the quarter. Core insurance revenue was up 36% year on year. Core credit revenue was down 22% year on year. However, it has bottomed out, and our quarter on quarter core credit revenue was up 4%. And I just wanted to add, our quarter on quarter core disbursals growth was 9%. So the bottom out has happened. Our renewal trail revenue on a 12 month rolling basis is 770. The Policy Bazaar side of it, the insurance core revenue has grown at 47%. And overall, it's a 39% growth. The quarterly insurance renewals revenue is now at an ARR of 758 crores, which is up from 516 crores in Q2 last year. So that is a growth of 242 crores. That's just, you know, how the annual growth is kind of going on right now. This is a key driver of our long-term profit growth. Steady growth continues in the core insurance premiums, net of savings at 39% year on year. So savings continues to be stressed. I just wanted to say this is against a high base of Q2 last year. Q2 was our highest place last year. In fact, Q3 was almost 10% below Q2. So excluding the savings category, we have been growing between 35 to 45% very consistently for the last 10 quarters now. We continue to improve our customer onboarding and claim support services. And insurance CSAT is consistently now above 90%. Our credit revenue for the quarter is 106 crores and disbursals is 2,280 crores for the core online business. We further strengthened our leadership in new initiatives with a revenue growth of 61% year on year. Adjusted EBITDA margins have moved from minus 12% to minus 4% with a 5% contribution. PB Partners, our agent aggregator platform, is clearly consolidating its leadership and accelerating its growth momentum. It now has over 380,000 advisors. It's not just in 19,000 pin codes, but it's really driving growth from tier 4 and tier 5 towns. It's clearly got the most diversified business lines out of all the players in the market today. and have moved the business increasingly towards smaller and higher quality advisors at a rapid pace. I think all of these things are really positioning it in a very, very clear leadership position. I would say almost as big as the next two combined or something of that sort. Our UAE insurance premium grew 64% year on year and is clearly aligned towards health and life, very similar to our India business. It's also using the cross-border situation quite well, where basically when people retire, they retire into India. We have a unique value proposition on those kind of products, and the business is now consistently profitable for 3 quarters. Our consolidated PAT for PB FinTech grew 2.65 times or 165% to 135 crores from 4% to 8%. I think it's a very important stat, which I feel quite strongly about. This is 1.77% of our insurance premium. I think that's how hard this category is. After 17 years, 18 years, we are in our 18th year, and we are able to get to about 1.77% of insurance premium as a profit pool. It will, of course, grow. This should kind of keep growing into the future, but that's where we are today. To summarize our performance since our public listing, it's always good to look at things now that 4 years are over. In these 4 years, from Q2 22 to Q2 26, our revenue grew from 280 crores to 1614 crores, about 6x. And that's a CAGR of 55%. And our PAT margin has gone from minus 73% to 8% positive overall for the entire business. Happy to take questions now.
Thank you, Yashish. We'll take the first question from Sachin Salgaonkar, Bhopal. Sachin, please unmute yourself.
Thank you, Rasleen. Congrats, Yashish and team, for a great set of numbers. I have three questions. First question, a bit on clarification on how or if there is any impact on the business post the GST cuts, what we saw from September 22nd. And this question is both on the consumer demand as well as on your commissions, because we are hearing private insurance companies have reduced distributor commissions.
What happened? Has it got muted?
No, he's asked the first question.
Oh, it's the first question. Okay. So I think let's get to both these answers. I think demand has been very strong, and I would let Sarbvir answer that, but it's been extremely surprising and positive. And on the commission side, again, it's a complicated situation. And I wouldn't go with any of the media narratives or whatever you're hearing out there, because they tend to kind of paint things in a black and white. We are a very large source of business, specifically health and term, and fresh business. And our business quality is fairly superior compared to many other channels. There are multiple stakeholders here, insurers, us, regulators, governments, consumers, our employees. We are having very constructive conversations. It's not do this, do that. It's a very constructive conversation. And I feel we'll end up in a good place. Where? Let's see. But Sarbvir, you want to just speak about both the demand and the GST impact, please?
Yeah, sure, Yashish. I think on the impact, 5th September and 22nd September were the biggest demand days, I can say, in the history of Policy Bazaar, on both health and term, as well as for actually other lines also. On 5th, of course, the conversion was not as good. But on 22nd, even the conversion was very, very good. So what we are seeing is that because of this, lot of dialogue about health insurance and term insurance and life insurance in general, there is a lot of demand and interest in the category. It is translating into higher conversion into bookings as well. So I think from a demand perspective, it's very good. October, which would have, normally with Diwali, etc., can be subdued from an insurance perspective, I think was definitely a good lift because of this change. I think on the second question on the revenue, which I think Yashish has largely covered it, the only thing I just want to explain to everyone is that I know it's a matter of great speculation and intrigue, but actually it's not so complicated. There are 3-4 factors, right? What is the increase in business that we are seeing? What is the you know, quality of business in terms of fresh, real fresh versus, you know, people who are already existing insurance customers. And the third thing is the, you know, sort of P&L impact of that for everybody, right? So if you have high quality, fresh customers, the value of those customers to insurance companies is very high. So I think we are in a very, very constructive dialogue. And I think the fact that we are have a relationship with insurance companies and we are not just, I would say, a distributor in that sense, is really coming to the fore right now. And I think we are having these discussions. We are absolutely committed to working with everybody or with all our partners. And I think if you hear the calls also, I think all the insurance companies have said the same thing. And we think this will leave the industry in a better position than where we started. And I think that's the key from our perspective.
Okay, so net-net, maybe not too much of an impact on distributor for commissions for you guys, maybe something here and there, but generally it's a win-win for both of both you and the insurance companies. Is that what we should expect going ahead?
I'll focus on the second part only. I would say that yes, we want to ensure that it's a win-win for both. Actually, you know, there are three parts to this thing. It's a triangle always: consumer, insurance company, and policy bazaar. All three, you know, have to gain. Because otherwise, you know, it's a zero-sum game, right? If you take one something from one person, give it to the other. I think all three will gain, and that's what we are really focused on.
Got it. My second question is on the sharp EBITDA margin and adjusted EBITDA margin improvement we saw in this quarter. And this was clearly led by momentum at the core online business. So the question out here is, you know, should we see this momentum being sustainable? Because I remember Yashish mentioning in the last call that, you know, you guys are focusing more on revenue growth and margins is derivative and eventually follow. But, you know, we are also seeing margin growth being strong. So is this something which is sustainable going ahead?
I would not read anything into any margin growth, etc. Those things, I think they are just same. See, our focus is very clear. Our focus is on growth. Yes, one quarter you may see higher margin, one quarter. See, look at it, right? Our revenue is, just a second, I'm on the next one. Our total revenue for the quarter is about what? It's about 1640 crores. So even if that changes by 2% here or there, that is 32 crores positive or negative, right? What is 2%? It is 2 days of, it's 1.5 days of revenue or something of that sort, right? So sometime you may get some premium ahead, some payment later. Do not read into margin movements on a quarterly basis. And that's the message I would give. You know, it may be some spillover from previous quarters. It may be some spillover from next quarter. I don't know, right? But don't read too much into quarterly margin shifts. There has been nothing dramatic to change our contribution margin in the last quarter. It is just maybe some money came from some quarter here and there. Because you'll always see this 2 to 3% movement from one quarter to the other.
And there are costs below contribution line, which don't move as fast, obviously.
Yeah.
Grow fast. So you definitely get some benefit between contribution to EBITDA. But yeah, as Yashish said, practically we are focusing on growth and that drives everything else.
Got it.
Very you know, 1 month you just might have a higher issuance bucket, some month, some delay, some Sunday. Those kind of things can make some changes. So don't read too much into in one quarter how much did the margin happen. I'm just trying to explain, like 30 crores can shift with just 1.5 days.
Yeah, thanks on that. And last question is, would be great to have an update on Pension Bazaar and PB Money in the last 3 months, how the business has scaled up and, you know, should we see incremental investments into both these new initiatives?
Yeah, so both PB Money and Pension Bazaar, there haven't been much incremental investments. I think all of it put together may not, the total investment may be less than $500,000. So I wouldn't say that anything has happened yet. But maybe I'll just ask Sarbvir if you want to talk about Pension Bazaar or, you know, Santosh, if you want to talk about PB Money.
No, I think, Sachin, it's a bit early to really say too much about Pension Bazaar. I think we are, you know, we've set up a small team. We are looking at various things. I think the good news I would say is that NPS is, you know, a lot of changes have come in the NPS scheme and they're making it more, I would say, consumer friendly. It's still a, you know, it's still a tough business. 15 years, you have to lock in your money, etc. But I think it's a very serious problem that we are trying to solve. And I think right now we are focused on figuring out our way forward. And I think we'll have more to say as we go.
I think on both of these, we are actually at a drawing board stage here. On both PB Money and Pension Bazaar, we're at drawing board stage. And that's our usual style in such things, right? Till we are sure about exactly how we're going to do it, we will stay at the drawing board stage. And at some point, we'll become confident and move forward. PB Money is exactly the same thing. On the Paisa side, we want to have a more holistic offering. Besides just credit, we also want to have certain savings products, etc. But we are not moving aggressively on that yet. Right now, we're still testing. I don't know, Santosh, if you want to say anything.
No, absolutely. I think PB Money, we've been able to now put all our persons' investments on one view. New insights we're giving consumers. Now, monetizing that for savings products, of course, is the next step. But again, nothing major has happened yet. We're doing some of the products. We've launched bonds and deposits, but very early stage.
See, here's some guidance if you want to hear it. On both Pension Bazaar and PB Money, don't expect anything from a results perspective, at least for a year. I think we are in a drawing board stage, and any scale that happens will be irrelevant compared to the scale of our other businesses. But at the same time, here, one more thing, we are deeply committed to both. Sometimes you can be very deeply committed to something, but not act on it immediately because you don't know exactly how you will act. And both Pension Bazaar and PB Money are at that stage. So Perfect. We do believe pensions is a very big problem in India, and there will be some solution. We don't know exactly what yet. And similar with PB Money, I think our customers need a more holistic solution. We will figure out exactly how to do it.
Got it. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you, Sachin. We'll take the next question from Sachin Dixit, JM Financial. Sachin, please.
Also on both of them, don't expect any significant loss or anything also either. So it's not like we are investing a lot of money in any one of them in the early stages.
Thank you.
We'll take the next question from Sachin Dixit, JM Financial. Sachin, please unmute yourself.
Sure. Hi, Yashish and team. Congratulations on a great set of results again. I had a couple of questions. My first question was on this piece with regards to cross-sell, right? So with GST exemption being there on your renewal book as well, and you already are sitting on a decently large term and health book, do you think there is opportunity, and if you have seen any evidence of that in October, please let us know. So do you think there is substantial opportunity to cross-sell or upsell to the same customers who are renewing premium, considering that their overall payments are declining thanks to GST cut?
I think, Sachin, if I understand your question, basically what is going to happen is that in health renewal especially, people will see a lower price or a much more attractive price as compared to what they would have seen with GST. So our objective, and it's again early days yet, but our objective is to significantly try to build up our renewal rate. And we measure renewal rate on the basis of number of policies, because, you know, number of customers is what really matters. So our first priority is to increase renewal rates, both first year as well as second year onwards. Second priority is what you are, I think, referring to, which is to try to cross-sell some more products, to maybe increase the value of the customer, etc. But I would say that it's a second priority. Our first priority actually is to increase the renewal rate. Because if you think about it, the more customers we can carry into the future actually has a very high, outcome and very high value versus just trying to increase first year, premium and have fewer customers going forward. So that's what we are trying to do. And we believe that the nature of products, we have spoken about it, that the nature of health insurance products with a higher cumulative bonus is also favorable. And now with this change, I think we should be able to drive even higher persistency. I mean, that's really what our focus is.
Understood. So where I was coming from largely was, like, if you look at, for example, term, right? A lot of people might be investing in term thanks to ATC benefit as well. And they already have a defined amount in their mind on which they need benefit. So in case that number, thanks to the 18% cut, becomes lower, do you think you will be able to sell more rather than the customer actually paying just the lesser amount?
Yes, absolutely. So in term insurance, what we are trying to do is that we are telling people that, 1 crore is our most popular price point. We are saying that you should buy 1.5 crores, because as we've calculated, for most people, it's like 100 rupees a month extra, and you can get 1.5 crores instead of 1 crore. So we are actually trying to increase the sum assured in term and say that, look, this is a great opportunity for you, and you should, buy more sum assured. Again, these are slow burns. It's not very easy to drive these things very quickly, but this is a very calculated and I would say very well-oiled effort that we are making to try and drive this going forward. And, you know, let's see how it goes.
Got it. Sure. My second question is, Yashish obviously mentioned, like, since that GST announcement came in, you guys figured out, or at least a team figured out, how to ensure that growth remains on track for September month as well as coming going ahead. Can you talk about what were these initiatives? What did you do? How did you ensure that the growth did not fall apart after that?
No, the master chef never sells their secret sauce here.
Okay.
So I'll just leave it there. And honestly, there is no secret sauce here. Actually, it's just hardworking people there. And they just get at it. They figure out solutions. They do it. And it's too much to be discussing on a call that exactly how, etc.
Sure. Just one housekeeping question, if I may. On the premium slides that you have shared, right, you have also shared the premium calculated using GST exemption at the bottom. So if at some point of time that becomes the norm, should we expect a like step decline in the premium that you will show up on your report?
No, so from next quarter onwards, we will share the premium without GST, and it will be apples to apples. So the past will also be shown without GST. Whatever GST
will revise
was
it.
There will be removed from the past as well. It is just okay. For 8 days. We didn't want to do that entire exercise. It would just confuse people more than the benefit of 8 days of reduced GST.
Understood. Thank you. Thank you so much and all the best for the future.
Thank you, Sachin. We'll take the next question from Nidesh Jain, Investec. Nidesh, please unmute yourself.
Thanks, Aslin. Hi, Ashish and team. First question is on health insurance. Have you launched narrow network policies already, and if yes, what is the share of narrow network policies in the health insurance business?
Yeah, we have launched, yes, with many of our partners. We have preferred network policies where essentially if you take a rider which limits the network, you get a discount upfront. I think it's probably not necessary to talk about what percentage it is. It's a small percentage right now, in the order of 15-20%. And, you know, it will grow with time. But I think this is an area which we are very deeply interested in for many reasons. And I think this is an area where we will work with, you know, to make it more and more valuable so that customers feel the value also of going to a narrow network. It should not just be a cost issue. It should also be a better experience when you go to a narrow network. So we are really focused on solving with our insurance partners the second part of the problem as well. We are focused on this one.
Sure. And secondly, if you can share the contribution margin and EBITDA margin for core credit business.
Many parameters there. Because there are credit cards and there are, you know, secured lending, unsecured lending. So giving a single number becomes very odd for such a large category.
Sure.
Yeah, they're not very different from what people get in the market.
Sure. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you, Nidesh. We'll take the next question from Jayant Harote, Axis Capital. Jayant, please unmute yourself.
Thanks, Rasleen, and congratulations to the team for a great set of results. The first question is slightly longer term for Yashish. We see the slide where you mentioned PAT as a percentage of premium at 1.77%. While you clearly said you don't want to look at quarterly margin and profitability, if I were to slightly take a zoom out and look 3 to 5 years out, where do you see this number, let's say by FY30 or
I think about 3% or so.
Okay, and this will take into factor the 1 trillion premium number that you're aspiring for.
Yeah, the 1 trillion, obviously there'll be a bit of a change because of GST. But how much, whether it delays it by one quarter or two quarters, see, I love this thing, guidance and, you know, all these words. I'm just talking from heart, right? So in November 21 or whatever, whenever it was, I just said, yes, at some point we'll make a certain amount of profit. Now, I didn't know that was going to be a guidance, but okay, it's a guidance, fine, out there, right? And that's the same message that we again put out that, okay, in 2030, we would like, these are our aspirations. These are what we can see. And I think, to an extent, those numbers are put out there because at that time, they are not the norm in terms of the thought process. And then when they appear, people say, yeah, this would have happened anyway. So the 1 crore premium was not anyway. Sarbvir is laughing. It doesn't happen anyway. It takes a lot of effort, but it is, you know, somewhere it's kind of comes out that way, right? So the 1 lakh crore was in a similar vein. When I made that, I didn't know that GST would not be part of that 1 lakh crore. So yeah, there may be a, you know, it may happen, you know, on a 1 quarter later or 2 quarters later, because there may be some impact of GST. Maybe there's a 6% impact on the on our accumulated book. So yeah, we'll see how that appears. But yes, the 3%, I think the 3% of that.
Great. Thanks for this session. Second question is linked to growth again. Now that I think savings on the base number was the largest for 2Q, and moving into 3Q, 4Q, that base effect is going to wean off. Shall we assume now we will move back to our 30% plus growth trajectory for the foreseeable future? Am I correct that by fourth quarter, savings was already negative for you last year?
Yes, savings was. But all I'm trying to say is without savings, we've given the number very clearly. Without savings, we've been in that zone for forever, like 10 quarters is a long time. And we don't anticipate that changing. But yes, we do believe that as we move into the next few quarters, the saving growth will naturally come back. Like, if you think about it, Q4 last year was already 20% below Q2. So if we just do what we are doing, you will see a kind of decent growth anyway. And we are seeing growth, right? And actually, when I'm looking at the numbers, I'm seeing quarter-on-quarter growth in the savings business, clearly, and in the Paisa business. So there's a lot of effort going in making that quarter-on-quarter growth come out.
So if I could just squeeze in one last, I remember you passionately talking about child education and pension problem that you want to solve for. Is there any update? Is that part of savings climbing in the way you had expected it to?
Yeah, so I think, you know, the pension category, we started about 3-4 quarters ago. So I think that continues to grow, I think, both sequentially and on a year-on-year basis. The child business, we have been doing for a while. It does grow. But I think we've also, I would say, broadened the appeal. So the appeal was essentially that there's a waiver of premium feature that if the person is, you know, dies, then the premiums are paid by the insurance company in place of that person, so that whatever goal you were saving for, in that case, children's education, would be fulfilled. So we have extended that same benefit to all other things. So supposing you're saving for your house, you're saving for your retirement. So let's say if something happens to you, then your wife, your family would continue to get that, you know, amount of money. So I think we broadened the appeal. We are continuing to drive that. Of course, right now, you know, given the overall business was soft in Q2, I think this part also didn't necessarily grow very dramatically. But it continues to be a key sales pitch. And I would say it's a very real story. It's something which really differentiates ULIPs from mutual funds and other instruments.
Great. Thank you and congratulations once again.
Thank you, Jayan. We'll take the next question from Neeraj Toshniwal, UBS. Neeraj, please unmute yourself.
Yeah, hi everyone. Congrats on good set. So first question on contribution. We see contribution improving sharply in Q2 despite, you know,
Neeraj, you'll have to growing. Get probably a little closer to the mic. We're not able to hear you.
Is it better now?
Go ahead, let's try. Yeah.
Yeah, so basically, the contribution seems to have improved despite health still growing, you know, upwards of 60%. So what drove the change from Q1 to Q2? Because health is still growing very fast, but contribution has surprised here. Second question is on the new initiatives. Looks to be very strong. If you can give more color on the same, are we now getting on the net take rate? Are we making some bit of money there, or still a contribution at 5%? And we might see the journey a little while to have, you know, a turn into profitability. So, any timelines to that will be helpful. And third would be the breakdown of the premium in initiative renewals and all those numbers. If you can share, that would be helpful.
Neeraj, can you please repeat your first and third question again?
So, first question was on the contribution margin. Contribution looks very strong despite health growing very fast. So, just wanted what changed from Q1 to Q2?
Understood. So it's contribution margin despite health growing
Yeah, so
very fast.
that I think I answered that it may just be, some extra issuance may have happened this quarter, some extra payment may have happened this quarter. All I'm saying is always assume that, 2, 3 days of payments can move from one quarter to the other. So always, as long as it's 30 to 40 crores moving from one quarter to the other, don't take it too seriously, because on a, 1600 crore thing. So that was really the explanation. Yes, you are absolutely right. For those who may not be aware, fresh health does move at about -20%. So every time we do fresh health, our margins get pushed down. In fact, we make a loss, clearly at the contribution level itself. But then the renewals are growing just as fast. So renewals is also growing at about 50% or so.
Yeah, only thing I would add, there is, I think it's best to look at it on a rolling 4-quarter basis.
That's the right thing.
Yeah, the only little bit of element in Q2 was that if you see Q1 through Q2, health renewal growth was stronger in Q2 than in Q1. But again, I think it's all these are small pieces which move up and down every quarter.
I think what Sarbvir said just now was the most important thing. That's why we put out the 12-month rolling piece. Always look at that one. That is the most, kind of, yes, backward looking, because it's 12 months is over. So it's kind of, a bit dated. But that's almost the best way of looking at our business. Takes out seasonality and takes out these quarter-on-quarter movements also.
Got it. And from the new initiative, you can give more color
Some
in
initiative,
terms of
color on
the
new
kind of growth you are
initiative.
seeing.
Yeah, I think one of the things that Neeraj, that we are seeing on the POSP side, if you see the growth actually accelerated in this quarter, we grew at 55-56% in this quarter. And I think what is happening is that one is, we are going deeper into the countryside, we are going to smaller and smaller towns, we've expanded, we're investing behind, increasing our team, etc. And obviously they're recruiting more agents, more granular, businesses coming. And I think the second thing that we are seeing is that a little bit of the industry structure is also favoring us. We are actually right now the most focused organization on the POSP side. We've always explained that, we bring a huge amount of, I would say, focus and capability to the table. Some of our peers in that business are going through their own, some kind of corporate actions, and some are, focused on other matters. So what is really happening is that our team is able to drive very effectively. And I think this is very, very heartening, because 4 years into the project, we are now growing at 55% on a very high base. So I think that's really heartening. And I think if I understood your question also, that this bodes very well for improving the economics of the business as well. Profitability, etc., is
Yes,
a different
exactly.
thing, but I think the economics of the business are improving with scale. And I think the delta between PB Partners and other peers is increasing very rapidly now, every quarter.
In terms of net take rate, when can we, turn the table and get starting, making profits out of it?
Is the question that when does the POSP business become profitable? Is that the question? I'm trying to decipher the question.
Yeah, so the
Okay,
timelines
so I think next year, our hope is that the POSP business, in the normal course of things, may not have much of a loss, may not have any meaningful loss. But you know what? We don't want to commit to that, because we will play this strategically. We are very good at execution, and we are very focused on winning, so and adding value to the customers and our partners. So we will do whatever feels right at that point, which could be anything. But yeah, in the normal course of things, I think our losses should be meaningless next year.
important. That is helpful, Yashish. Only last question is on the bookkeeping. If you can break down the partners, contracts, and new business, the
Yeah, so for POSP, it was about 1700 crores, about 415 for UAE, and corporate was 230 crores.
and new business in the news.
They're fairly similar for core policy.
Got it. Thank you, and all the best.
Thank you. Thanks, Neeraj. We'll take the next question from Dipanjan Ghosh City. Dipanjan, please unmute yourself.
Hi, hope I'm audible.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So just one or two questions from my side. First, you know, Yashish, you obviously, you know, to one of the previous participants' question, you mentioned that maybe somewhere around 2030, maybe plus minus a few quarters, you aim to take the profitability number to, let's say, 3% of premiums. But on the flip side, you also mentioned that you want to sustain growth on the POSP and the new initiatives and not lose out on the opportunity. Now, you know, we would presume that even 4-5 years out, these businesses would probably not operate at a margin where your core business operates. So let's say when you kind of visualize this 3% of premiums, how are you really extrapolating, let's say, the growth in the core versus the new initiatives? And I mean, does that have an implication on this 3% number in case the growth rates across these two segments were to flip or change?
My expectation is, you know, POSP is reaching a point as a channel where I think future growth rates are going to be similar to, or, you know, I don't think the share shift will be too much from here. But there is also, see, we invest. When we do health business, we lose money. And that is why, you know, there is a reward in terms of renewals premiums. There could be two ways of paying for anything, right? Somebody could say, okay, you will be paid upfront, like happens in life insurance. Or somebody could say you will be paid annually, like happens in health insurance or motor insurance or general insurance business. So there we have that renewal advantage. And, you know, the renewals part is always a little more predictable, Dipanjan, than the fresh business. I was just talking to Sarapil before this meeting, and I was saying in fresh business, even 0% growth is an achievement because it is actually hunting every year, right? Because people have to come in, you have to convince them to buy. And that is why we add a lot of value with along with our partners to the industry in bringing fresh customers to the market, both in health and term. You know, motor, at least they have to buy. So they will buy from somewhere, but health and term, people don't have to buy, right? So I think, the reward we receive for putting in that effort and actually making a loss in the first year is the renewals. And that becomes a predictable source. So yes, I do think that is what explains it a little more than what the POSP explains it. And I think POSP will be a similar share as we go forward. But maybe a little more, 1-2% will not. So see, when I say this number, it is a very robust number. It doesn't change very easily. These numbers don't change very easily. Just like our, you know, 2027 guidance was a fairly robust number. It can't change too much. You can't change it by more than 10-20% here or there.
And dependent, the hope is, I mean, we are not saying 3% or 2.5%, 3.5%.
Yeah.
What we want to achieve and work towards is 1 trillion rupees, which is 1 lakh crore rupees of premium.
Yeah, this is not our objective. Our objective is the 1 trillion rupees premium. This is a byproduct. But if you do that much, I think maybe the industry wants to pay you a little bit, right? Maybe you make a couple of percentage points of profit also.
No, absolutely. I mean, sorry, just two small questions on this. One, in the POSP business, I mean, is the mix still predominantly inclined towards motor? Because you mentioned that, you know, you have diversified and probably, you know, on the POSP side, you're probably one of the most diversified companies as on date. So one is, how has the diversification progress been? And second, you know, on that lines, is the contours of the contract or profitability of the products on POSP similar across motor and non-motor? And last question is more on, is basically on the pension or the savings business, ex of, let's say, the linked, a pure linked business. I mean, you know, what is the strategy to really scale up the hybrid model? Because I would presume that that would be one of the levers to really, you know, scale up the pension category as a segment and its related, other businesses.
Yeah, so I'll just take them one by one. I think in terms of POSP, motor continues to be the, obviously, a large majority of the business. We are the most diversified in terms of having, you know, other lines of business, life, health, and, you know, other stuff. The reason, you know, if I were to look at it right now, I would say actually the motor business is responsible for driving the growth that we are seeing, the, I would say, above average growth that we are seeing. In terms of the shape of the P&L, Motor tends to have little lower retention, but also lower costs. Life and health tend to have higher retention, but you also need to invest in them. So net-net, I don't think there is that much difference at the EBITDA level. And our thought process is, see, our thought process is actually not in that business is not focused on product. It's focused on the agent. Because our agent is our partner. We have to improve the earnings of the agent. If the agent earns more money by working with PB partners, he or she will stay with us longer and they will see greater value with us. So that is, I think, the crux of the discussion. And that's what we are trying to achieve. That's to give them an earnings opportunity, which is superior to what they may be able to do anywhere else. And if you ask me honestly, that's what is winning so far.
And have the agent's trust. You know, one of the things you will hear as you go around the market, if anybody does the due diligence, is that Policybazaar always pays on time, those kind of things, right? And I think that is what people, does not snatch people's customers, does not try to steal the renewals, does not try to, you know, cut them out of the renewals commission, etc. Those kind of things you will hear in the market. And I think that is one of the reasons why people are starting to gravitate towards us. Because eventually it's a game of trust here.
Absolutely. I think on the second thing in terms of the savings business, yes, absolutely. Hybrid has been, you know, has been a driver of our growth. So we had done the top, I would say 10, 12 cities earlier. Now what we are trying to do is we are pushing into the next, I would say 15 to 20 cities where we are trying, you know, similar models. We have to manage that in a lower cost because we can't put that many number of, you know, advisors in each of those cities. But we are doing that. I think we are working on 20 cities right now. And that is also, that project is also slowly gaining traction. So I think, yes, savings will require a hybrid approach. Customers like to meet people face to face. They want to understand the products, you know, taking time. And I think that's something that we will continue to keep driving as we go forward.
Got it, Yashish and Sarveer and Alok, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dipanjan. We'll take the next question from Kushagra Goel. CLSA. Kushagra, please unmute yourself.
Hi. Thank you for taking my question. Congratulations on a wonderful set of numbers. I just have one question now. So there was a sharp increase in the other expense line item this quarter. So just wanted to understand what exactly sits here and how to think about this going forward.
Just give us a second here. Just a second. Other expenses. What top is it? Could you just kind of try to highlight the number or something? Because
yeah.
We can't see this up increase story.
No, so it's up 29% sequentially QOQ and about 67% YOY.
Where do you see? Where is this 29%? Which is the other expenses?
This
other expenses in the.
No, where is it?
Yeah, 592 crores.
Maybe we get back to
sure.
Question in the meanwhile.
Yeah, yeah. I think this is maybe some point of sales presence commissions. That is what is perhaps showing up here. So maybe as the business has expanded, that is showing under other expenses.
Okay, so it's linked to the POSP business.
Yeah.
God, yeah, that's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Kushab. We'll take the next question from Manas Agarwal Bernstein. Manas, please unmute yourself.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. Two questions and two clarifications. First question is, let's say hypothetically, if something was to happen on take rate compression, and then there is a volume offset, which is a favorable move. What kind of cost levers do you have in the next coming quarters to protect your margins for the year, let's say? So that's question one. Question two is, as part of these negotiations around take rate, since a lot of your profitability comes from the renewal book, is there a distortion between how take rates are being negotiated on new versus renewal? And does it change your renewal-led profit buildup in any shape or form? Those are two questions from a clarification perspective. If we are saying that GWP includes GST, that basically means your take rates are actually higher than what we've optically seen them to be. And wanted to understand narrow network policies. Is this your PB Health policies, or that is same concept but yet to be launched? That is it.
So very quick answers, first of all, and I'm sure Sarbvir will also pitch in on this. Look, in reality, our conversations with most insurers are not as shallow as this is your commission, take it or leave it, or anything of that sort. It is much more around operating ratios, the quality of the book, around how fast we are growing. And if you notice across channels, what you would notice is our fresh growth I'm talking about is very, very high. Our percentage of the fresh is much higher than our percentage of renewal. And we and our partners are very aware of our operating ratios, our combined operating ratio, which is actually far more favorable than many other channels. And it's only fair that if somebody is growing for you faster, doing higher fresh business, is also doing good quality business, which implies our claim settlement rate is much higher, which is actually a very big positive for insurers, because if your claim settlement rate is higher, your complaints are lower, the customer distress is much lower. By the way, we also, when companies do well on the Policybazaar platform, there's also direct traffic creation, which builds direct business for insurers. So it's a little more complicated conversation than, we're not a standalone, we're not just a distributor. It's a distributor, a marketeer, a claims partner. We're a partner in every sense. So our conversations are there. And we don't want to comment in the market about which way these are going to end, etc. And I think we want to keep our conversations with our partners, which are very constructive, in a closed room. At this point, genuinely, we don't think anybody needs to worry about this too much, is the broad answer we would give. But I'd say, yeah, I don't know. And the narrow network, yes, the entire thought process is the same. PB Health is just a word. But yes, the thought process is the same. But Sarbvir, do you want to kind of?
No, actually, I have nothing to add on the GST thing. I think, the only thing, again, I just repeat, we have a relationship with insurance companies, and in a relationship, you work things out between the two partners and do not talk about it too much in public. So I think that's what we are also doing. On the cost side, I would say that please understand that we are focused on cost efficiency in any case. It's not like because today commissions, whatever, something has happened on GST, so we should now look at our costs. We look at our
costs. We started this whole approach years ago.
Yeah, we look at our costs on a daily, weekly, monthly basis. And actually, hidden in a lot of the overall stuff is that our marketing efficiency has improved quite dramatically over the years, whether it is the proportion of direct traffic that we are able to bring, to the platform, whether it is the fact that we have built our own in-house, being able to leverage our own customer base more effectively. I think what we call our growth business, that now has become a big contributor to our fresh business. It used to be almost nothing. So I think we have focused a lot on marketing efficiency. We focus a lot on call center efficiency. We focus a lot on improving the productivity of our advisors. So I think that, again, irrespective of what is happening, we focus very heavily, and I think we achieve good outcomes there also. So I think that's where I would leave the discussion at. I think on the network products right now, as and when PB Health, hospitals come online, we will obviously leverage them also. But right now, we are leveraging the existing hospital network that are there and working on that. And I think that's kind of where we are. And I think you did ask that if the GST is removed from the premium, then yes, obviously, optically, our take rate will look higher than it used to look earlier.
Got it. Thank you for the detailed answers.
And I just wanted to say one thing. You know, sometimes in the media, it's portrayed like this is some kind of commodity that, you know, anybody can bring health customers or term customers to the market. See, remember, with 17, 18 years of effort, a lot of hard work, a lot of brand build, a lot of direct traffic, with all those things and everything we are doing, of the premium, we are able to make 1.77% at our scale. So this is not an easy, you know, thing that anybody can just, that it's a like, I'll give an example, right? Suppose I wanted to get traffic from Google for health insurance. There's only a limited amount I can get. That's it. I may be willing to spend 10 times that money, but I will not get more traffic. So to some extent, it is a pretty rare commodity. And we are very fair partners, and our partners are very fair to us, right? And we are working things through. So I don't think it's you know, as simple as, yeah.
Got it. Thank you.
Thanks, Manas. We'll take the next question from Madhukar Lada, Nuvama. Madhukar, please unmute yourself.
Hi, good evening. Congratulations on a great set of numbers. So I have three questions, actually. First, on the adjusted EBITDA margins, also, obviously, we're seeing a pretty good improvement. But, you know, if I look at the indirect costs, like the cost sitting between contribution and adjusted EBITDA, that also seemed to be well contained. I wanted to get some sense of how should we be looking at this number, you know, on a sort of quarterly basis, annual basis. What are the components of here, and what sort of growth, let's say even annually, if we were to look at this number, how should we think about this? Because that will help us, you know, run our adjusted EBITDA sort of calculations more clearly. Second, see, last quarter, I think you had given a number of a sort of Paisa Bazaar margins of minus 20%. That is the EBITDA margin. So can you give a similar number for this quarter or the first half? So that's my second question. And finally, if you could just give me, I think you did mention these numbers, but if you could repeat, what are the renewal premium numbers for POSP, corporate, and UAE separately, that would be helpful. Thanks.
Okay, lot of questions there, but good. I think when you look at operating cost, specifically fixed costs, you know, brand, other people, other office costs, central cost allocations. How do I say this? We are doing a lot of innovation. We are doing a lot of new segments, a lot of new products, a lot of those things. And thus, a lot of experimentation is going on across the organization. And at an early stage, like, you know, whenever you start a new BU or a new sub-BU, it takes a lot of effort. There's a certain amount of, and it takes a while before it scales up. And so we've been doing a lot of that simply because our focus has been on growth. Our focus, I've repeated this many times over the last 3-4 years, and I think by now you would have seen enough proof of it. Our focus is not to become, see, there are two stages an organization can be in. It can try to maximize profits or it can drive growth. Usually both of these don't go together. And we are in that zone where we're trying to expand. Eventually we will have enough to take care of all these costs, and that's our approach. In terms of growth rates, they should stay similar to what they have been over the past, maybe a little lower as we progress on the fixed cost side. And again, now coming to margins on the Paisa side, we don't want to comment on this. There's been a slight improvement. I don't want to be exact about the number. I know we were exact last quarter. There has been an improvement, but the improvement is limited. So it's not like a marked improvement. And I'll leave it there.
brand is mostly a constant for a few quarters. So I think that should give you enough information. If there's more than that required, then you'll just check with Raskin or something.
On the renewal piece, sure. In the new initiatives, we have about 180 crores for PB partners, about 110 for UAE, and about 300 crores for the corporate business.
Got it. Thanks. That's it from my side.
Thank you, Madhubar. We'll take the next question from Shreya. Shreya, please, from Nomura. Shreya, please unmute yourself.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes.
Okay, great. Congratulations on a great set of numbers. I have two questions. First is on the motor piece. So quite interesting that your POSP book actually grew very well in the quarter, and assuming similar trend in October, because we know that the car sales and vehicle sales has been going very strong, but surprising that the POSP actually attracts a lot more fresh premiums on the motor side. So some color on whether POSP model is a better suited model for cracking the fresh motor business. That's my first question.
I think, Shreya, I think if by fresh motor you mean new cars, then frankly speaking, neither POSP nor our B2C business actually have very high amount of business coming from new cars. The growth that we saw in Q2 was not driven by new cars, but by actually overall growing our market share, I would say, in the POSP business. And it continues to be a mix of, like I said, growth in distribution, I mean, going to areas that we were not present in, and increasing the share that we are getting from areas that we are already present in. I think it is largely that which has driven it till Q2. You are correct in saying that in October, typically, you know, in the Diwali month, there is a higher degree of new car business, etc. But for us, actually, that is not a key driver of the business. It's largely the, you know, stock of cars and trucks and autos and school buses that are part of the business.
Okay. That makes sense. Thank you. Thank you for that answer. What is the overall motor segment growth? Just like your protection has grown at 44%, health at 60%. What would it be for motor for the entire policy business? And PB partners included?
The core business or the including PB partners?
Including PB. Yeah, the total premiums, including PB also.
Maybe about 40% or so.
Okay. Sure. My second question is, you had mentioned that your 1 trillion premium can move by 1 to 2 quarters and all of those things. We have a guidance for next year also, which is your net profits and profit guidance. Fair to assume that there also that 1,000 crore could move, I mean, could get delayed or not get delayed. Any comment on that?
If there was a change, I would have said it.
Okay, sure. That's useful. And my last two questions are data keeping questions. I wanted the PB Connect revenue that was 43 crores last quarter. So whatever is the number this quarter, and have we defined the ESOP payouts going ahead? Because what you had shared a couple of years back, but is there a new ESOP payout that you shared with us for the next two
years? Sorry, the last question, but Santosh, do you want to just answer the...
Yeah, the PB Connect revenue for quarter two is 66, 53% up from last quarter.
Sorry, what was the last question, Shreya?
ESOP payouts. So the ESOP payouts...
They should say similar now. As I said, okay. They are now getting into... See, what you are seeing in ESOP is we had an old scheme and a new scheme. The new scheme started last year, and the old scheme is kind of going to be phasing out by 28. So what you're seeing is on one side, the costs are coming down, and the other scheme, the costs are ramping up. But quite honestly, on an annual basis, you should not see much change. It should see very similar from here onwards.
Got it. That is useful. Congratulations, and thank you for all the best for the future.
Thank you, Shreya. We'll take the next question from Ashwin Mehta Ambit. Ashwin, please unmute yourself.
Yeah, hi. Congratulations on good set of numbers. Just two questions. One, if I look at your trail revenues in the credit side, there's been a fall, and understandably so because of the slowness of that business. But as you build the incremental book here, what are the initiatives that are being taken to kind of possibly build a higher trail here, or any sense in terms of that? And the second is in terms of any updates on the PB Health side, when do we start to see the first operations?
So, do you want to answer on the trail side?
So on the trail side, we did see slowness, and see, I think the credit area has been going through a tough time, and the NP rates were higher than what were anticipated. That led to some softening on the P&L side for the partners, and we kind of shared that burden, and hence you see softening of trail revenue. Going forward, we've doubled down on risk. We've doubled down on alternate data collection for consumers. So our ability to basically build quality of business for our partners is increasing as we move forward. And most of that will translate into better revenues being moving.
I think as we realized in Policy Bazaar, being a bucket shop distributor is not sufficient. You have to be more involved. You have to have more inputs into the process. And that is how you will earn properly into the future. But our renewals revenue got affected because our partners in general suffered. And it could not have been one way. So we shared in that. That was that. On PB Health, see, I'll try to explain to everybody the way we are thinking about it. First of all, the narrow network is part of the strategy that, look, you have a narrower network, so you have fewer places. The second thing that is part of it is care pathways, that if a customer is ill, they get appropriate care. So whether it needs to be primary care, secondary care, or tertiary care. And in the network, there are hospitals and care facilities that can take care of each one of those. So customers are directed on that. And lastly, there's a technology and hospitals layer. And on that, I think the update is four facilities have been part acquired or part whatever. So there's work going on that. But please appreciate, these hospitals will just become part of that network. So eventually, it's about running a narrow network, which will over time be more and more, let's say, more and more controlled or more and more integrated. But it's a slow move again. A bit like I said on pensions and PB Money, all these things will happen over time. Don't expect anything. The interesting part here is as those facilities become ready, I think the narrow network will come much before the facilities. The facilities just become the preferred part of the narrow network, if you would. And I think that's how you should see it. And there's obviously a lot of work going on in tech, et cetera, but for that, we'll have to have a totally different conversation.
Sure. Thanks, Yashish.
Thank you, Ashwin. We'll take the next question from Sanketh Godha, Avendus Spark. Sanketh, please unmute yourself.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So my first question is on the non-contribution expenses, fixed costs. Basically, the growth in those costs naturally has come down, probably improving the margins. So that number looks around 15% growth year on year. So for the half and not for the quarter two. So just wanted to understand a bit of color on this number, how you see this to play out eventually, whether it will be in this range or you see it to grow at a much lower pace. So large part of the cost will be sitting only in contribution margins.
Did you say 15% or 50%?
15, 15.
15. Oh,
Yeah.
so it should stay about this, yeah. I think that's a fair, but what happens is people, as I said, every time we start a new business, suppose in savings, we started a pensions category, right? And the pensions category requires a new BU head, it requires a new focus from a technology perspective, it needs new product people, it does all of those things. And that is really it. And we keep trying out new things, right? In health, we will have NRE, we will have old people, young people. Our success is not just achieved just like that, right? We have all these narrow segments, and thus fixed cost goes into creating those segments and making the success of those segments. Now, once those segments scale, the fixed costs are are less necessary also. And quite honestly, we've not focused on reducing them. So 15% seems like a safe thing. I do not think it would be very different. It might be, you know, little higher, little lower. I think maybe between 15 to 20%. As long as we are giving the 30% fresh growth, I think 15, 20 is okay. Sure. If we did not do that, then of course this would come down. So see, the management rule is quite straightforward. As long as 30% fresh growth, let's not focus on the fixed cost side. Let's keep going. Once, if we ever miss that, then on a consistent basis, not one quarter or something, but on a consistent basis, then we look at our cost side and we act on that also.
Okay, got it, Yashish. So, but if I do a similar exercise for the new initiative, 33% growth in fixed cost, so naturally it should converge to that 15% number what Core is reporting right now, right? Because incremental cost...
See, if you look at the components of this indirect cost, there are three main components. One is the office and office infra overheads,
yeah,
which is quite closely linked to number of people we have to hire. So that behaves more like a direct cost in nature. The second one is brand, where, as we had mentioned earlier in the call, it has become more constant sort of a number, maybe linked to inflation of the country.
Right.
The third and very big part would be the whole support teams, IT teams, marketing teams, management teams. Obviously, there is an increment which is given. To blend it, as he said, you can take it to be roughly half of the growth of the top line growth.
That's true.
And that's where we are comfortable today. And if things change, obviously, we'll have a relook, but we are very happy with roughly half the growth rate for indirect cost relative to the revenue growth rates.
This is very useful. And the second question just I had was that your contribution margin on new initiatives is 5.5. So for the quarter, so just to just if you can give a bit of color, this 5.5, whether how much is coming from POSP or corporate or who is heavy lifting this 5.5% number?
It's a combination. It's a combination of UAE, which is now a profitable business, and obviously that profit has increased because last year it was a loss making business. Now for three quarters, it's been a profitable business. I think. Corporate has been at pretty much the similar number in terms of burn, and POSP has been reducing its burn, but obviously increasing its scale also. So it's a combination of all three that's coming through. But as of now, POSP and corporate are still loss-making businesses. I think on an overall basis, if you look at all new initiatives put together, my hope is that next year, and that is what we, you know, yeah. So I think the whole idea is that 2027, our new initiative should be very close to zero is the whole thought process. And I don't see why it should be very different.
Okay, understood. So basically what you're trying to say is that at contribution level, PB Corporate and POSP are still loss making and large part of that is driven by PB UAE. That's way at contribution level, I mean to say.
It's a few things, right? POSP has reduced losses, but increased scale. So it's grown 55%, but its losses are much lower than what it was last year. Whereas corporate has got less growth in scale and similar losses, while UAE has both grown and become profitable. So I think all three of them are a bit of a moving situation. And from a profit and loss perspective, they're not very dissimilar now. So POSP used to overwhelm in terms of losses. Now it is not the case. But now they are all in the same zone in terms of both profits and losses.
And Sanket, at contribution level, we are, you know, positive now on the initiatives. The initiatives is also one area where you have competitive intensity, you know, in all three, whether it's Dubai, whether it's corporate business, or whether it's POSP, and that competitive intensity keeps on also going up and down, and we have to react to that as well. But directionally, I think we have managed to become unit economics positive few quarters back, I think two or three quarters back in the new initiatives. But yeah, if tomorrow we start something like Pension Bazaar or PB Connect or something, that will also go into that. So we don't want to restrict the team that, okay, you have to break even only and then we will invest. I mean, if we see any right opportunity, we'll invest. These numbers overall are going to be meaningless. So when we talk of 1,000 crores profit next year, whatever happens in new initiative is not going to create a big delta either way. -2% really doesn't matter.
See, already if you look at it from a contribution perspective, new initiatives is less than
6, 7%, maybe 7, 7.5% of the total contribution. From a P&L perspective, it's 3, 4% plus minus of the entire adjusted EBITDA or even of the profit, right? So it's becoming meaningless in the sense of either as a contribution percentage or as a profit percentage compared to the core business. And which is perhaps why you guys value the core business, right? That the core business has different mathematics as time progresses.
The reason I was asking this is that means by FY30 or FY29, whether this business will become adjusted EBITDA positive, entire new initiatives. That's the reason
I
was asking.
I said 27, yeah. I said not 2030. Next year, it should be very close to adjusted EBITDA zero.
Understood. Understood. Perfect. And last two data keeping questions. One, can you quantify hybrid to the contribution of the core new business and which I believe you said 25 or 30% is previous quarter. And in this health growth, 60% growth or 65% growth previous quarter, how much contribution came from long-term plans?
How much contribution came from?
Long-term plans.
Yeah.
That's a very small part of the book.
So the meaningful answer there is it hasn't changed dramatically from last year.
Okay.
There is no major year-on-year change. So, look, I'll try to explain. This question has been asked many times.